You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 1, where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Excuse me. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me right here, hopefully, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. I pray for America fervently. We pray for the world, and then I pray for everybody. But of course, I teach the word first. Don't miss it. We're in the final hour here. If you don't understand what's happening in America, you don't know your own name. You better get over here and pray. God is our only hope. Amen. Also, you're invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping, internet taping, SoundCloud taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there. Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, the end is very near. Amen. Amen. The signs are upon us. The end is very near. The signs are upon us. Quite some time ago, a tall, handsome African-American man came to my school and asked me to teach him to play piano. He wanted to play so he could sing praises to God. I did. His name was Sam Hill. That's right, Sam Hill. What a man of God. Everything about his life and everybody else, he measured by the word of God, and he prayed. We became great prayer partners. Sadly, some years ago, God called him home to heaven. A few years ago, God took me to heaven in a vision. Like the Apostle Paul, when he's taken to third heaven, whether in the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. God took me to heaven. I heard a great big trumpet sound, ta-da, ta-da. And then a great big voice with great humor and drama said, here comes Sam Hill. A big door open, a pearly door open, and out walked my friend Sam Hill. We were so glad to see each other. And then he transformed into his spiritual body. It was beautiful beyond description. And he looked straight at me and said to me, the end is very near.
Amen. Verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple.
The disciples said, Jesus, Solomon's temple is so beautiful.
Verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that
now Jesus,
shall not be thrown down.
Jesus is talking about his second coming. When Jesus lands his feet in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, even the Western Wall is going to tumble down. Now in 70 AD, a Roman general called Titus came and tore down a lot of Solomon's temple, but we still have the Western Wall. So that is not a sign in 70 AD. However, Jesus is about to give us some signs.
Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming?
What are the signs of the end of the age?
And of the end of the world.
The world Greek there means eon, age. And I have taught you, the Bible taught you, excuse me, in 2 Peter chapter 3, 6, and 7, that there are three earth ages. We know the first one, we were all in our spiritual bodies, and Lucifer rebelled and so brought in sin, so God destroyed that one. And then he brought in the second earth age so we could all accept Jesus or the devil one time in the flesh body. This is a second earth age. So the disciples are saying, when is the end of this one? Now there's going to be a third one after Jesus returns, after the millennium. Then God's going to bring the heaven on earth, and it's going to be a third earth age, and that'll be heaven forever. So they are saying, Jesus, what are the signs of the end of this age? Now he's going to tell us.
Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you.
Deceive means lie. The man there in Greek is antipas. It means a human man. Look out for men lying to you. Well, we've certainly got that sign, haven't we? All we do, mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine, stealing the election, lies, lies, lies.
Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
This sounds like it's people saying that they are Jesus. Now, there are a few idiots that say that. But what this means is, there are going to be people even in the pulpit saying, I am sent from Christ, and then they lie to you. Well, he does send people, but how do you know? How do you know the word is true? Are they teaching one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line? Is there anointing of the Holy Spirit there? Do they spend more time begging for money than teaching the word?
Verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Now, we've always had wars. We've heard of those. But what this means is, just before the Antichrist comes, he's going to say the opposite of war. He's going to say peace and safety. The wars will accelerate. The war in Afghanistan, I speak a word of prophecy, is accelerated. It's a setup because nobody's going to be able to solve that in the human flesh unless our good Donald Trump will be back in office, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's a setup, war, war, war. So the Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on, who comes before Jesus, can say, peace and safety, I've got the answer. All right. So in a way, Afghanistan is a sign because that accelerates it to bring in the Antichrist who will say, peace and safety. The sign is upon us.
Verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom.
China comes against America. China is totally controlling Joe Biden because of Hunter Biden. And China brought the COVID to us. All right. The sign is upon us. The end is very near.
There shall be famines.
Famines. Amos 8:11 says, at the end time, there will be a famine in the land, not of bread or water, but of every word of God. You know why the political system of the Antichrist, the first beast of Revelation 13, made us shut our churches? We did not. To take the word from you. Because, see, the devil is afraid of the word. If you hear the word, you would not be deceived. And where can you go? Very few places, some you can, where you get one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. We do not need the sermons. We do not need one verse and 3 points. We need every word of God. Matthew 4, Jesus said, man lives by every word of God. But there's a famine of that. Not here, though. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And pestilences.
Now, we had the bubonic plague sometimes back. Not too long ago, we had the Asian flu and the bird flu and all kind of flus. And guess what we got now? All kind of strands of COVID. The signs are upon us. The end is very near.
And earthquakes in diverse places.
Well, we've always had earthquakes, but in 2011, Japan had an earthquake that really devastated that nation, and we're hearing about them all over the place. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. That which should not be shaken will remain. The signs are upon us. The end is very near.
Verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows.
The word sorrows there in the manuscripts means the birth pains. When a woman begins to have a baby, she goes into labor pains. Now, when she goes into labor, birth pains, that baby might come in a minute or it might be quite a few hours. So, right now, you just heard all of these signs so far have been with us. They are upon us. We were witnessing them. So that means we are at the birth of a new nation. When Antichrist comes, and we know his time's been shortened, then Jesus comes, and then in the millennium, there will be the third earth age. So we're hearing the birth pains are coming right now. It's later than you think. The signs are upon us.
Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you.
Three stages of this. Some time back, we all saw ISIS take Christians, put them in orange jumpsuits, make them bow down and say, if you'll reject Jesus, we won't kill you. They did not reject Jesus, and ISIS beheaded them. They afflicted them, and they killed them. That sign is upon us. Mm-hmm. Now, the next sign I'm going to tell you about delivering up is not here, but it's about to be. This would be the sign of the two witnesses of Revelation 11. There are going to be two people. It does not say whether they're male or female. They come in the anointing of Elijah, and Elijah always tells you they're two fathers, that Satan beguiled Eve in the garden, and Cain was the child of the devil, but there's God the Father. The witnesses also have the law, the word of God, deep, 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 like Moses did. And these two witnesses are going to talk to you just before the Antichrist comes. Now, a lot of people tell us that they think the Elijah and Moses are Enoch. No, they can't be, because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So to go back to heaven, all three of these men had to be in a spiritual body. These two witnesses are going to be killed by the Antichrist, so they would have to have a flesh body. And since we're right at the end here, ready for the Antichrist comes, these two witnesses are alive on planet Earth right now. They are already beginning to tell you, look out, the Antichrist comes first. He comes before Jesus. Get into the Word. Study the law of Moses. Study the seven trumps. Six comes before seven. The Elijah anointing, the anointing of Moses. These two witnesses are alive right now. The good news is they're going to be with us. They're going to be delivered up to the Antichrist. He's going to kill them. But guess what? After 3.5 days, they arise from the dead. Now, the third deliverance will be the very elect of God. There are 7,000 elect alive on planet Earth right now who are not going to be deceived by the Antichrist. He's going to be, as Shepherd Chapel Dennis says, pretty boy Floyd. He's going to be beautiful. He's going to talk like Jesus, act like him, look like him. Peace and safety cause craft to prosper. But there are going to be 7,000 of us who are not going to believe it. I pray that's all of you. Amen. And because of that, the devil is going to have us delivered up to him. Now, we'll hear more about this later on in this teaching. But don't forget, Luke 21, verse 12, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. And Revelation 9, God has already told Satan, who is the devil with his Jesus costume, the Antichrist, do not touch any man or woman or boy or girl who has a seal of God in their forehead. Amen. The real word of God in your brain. Amen. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm.
And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
Christians are hated by the whole world at this time. But do you know that's a good sign? I get all kind of calls. I get good calls. I just got a call from the Pakistan area, Afghanistan, I think it's the Taliban. They said, die. Well, that's good. That's a badge of honor. If you're not being persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're not doing any good. Christians are hated.
Verse 10, and then shall many be offended.
Oh, boy. Ooh, the woman says, don't call me woman. I might feel like a man. The man says, don't call me man. I might be feel like a woman. Don't call me anything. I'm not sure what I am. Have you ever seen such political offense? That sign is upon us.
I shall betray one another.
Mark 13 and later on in this teaching, Jesus says that when the Antichrist is actually here, that the mother shall put the daughter to death. The father shall put the son to death. Now, they're not going to kill you, who is death. Jesus came to defeat death, whose name is the devil. This means that half the body of Christ are going to worship the devil because he looks like Jesus. Matthew 25 will tell us more about this. Half of the Christians in this world saying they love Jesus, some on you under the sound of my voice, are going to go to the Antichrist, call him Jesus. So, the church deceived. The mothers and brothers and sisters and fathers in the church are going to turn the elect in to the Antichrist. They mean well. They think they're saving our soul. They're going to say the devil, Jesus. See, they think he's Jesus. They say, Jesus, Sherry does not believe you are Jesus. She thinks you're the devil in your Jesus costume on. And the devil with his Jesus costume said, oh, see, the devil's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything about everything. Bring her to me, and I will try to convince her. And the very Christians in the church who are deceived will turn the elect in. That is not bad. That's good. There's a purpose. That's a high and holy calling. We'll talk about that a little bit more. All right, that sign is almost upon us. That sign's ready to happen because right now, if you tell people that the Antichrist comes before Jesus, they get mad as a setting hen. Amen. They want to fly away, you know.
They hate one another.
Oh, boy. Joe Biden hates Republicans more than he hates the Taliban. Nancy Pelosi hates Donald Trump more than she hates what's going on 1 mile from her palatial palace. Mm-hmm. 1 mile from Nancy's palace in California, homeless people are shooting themselves up with drugs, with needles, and defecating in the street. But see, Nancy doesn't care about that. She's busy hating Donald Trump. And Hillary Clinton hates all of us who love Donald Trump. She calls us deplorables. Hate, hate, hate. There used to be a song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. We really need it. All we got is hate, bad hate.
Amen. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many.
Now, this sign is upon us because in the year 1830, 1832, a demented woman called Margaret MacDonald had an evil vision. Even in her dementia, she said, this is evil, because she said, it looks so beautiful, it would have to be Jesus, and he's going to fly us out of here before the Antichrist comes. And then she said, no, I don't think it's Jesus, it's the devil. See, the devil's very beautiful. God made it the perfect pattern, Ezekiel 28. And so she said, oh, I see, Jesus is going to fly the church out of here before the Antichrist comes. Two itinerant preachers heard this, brought it to America. It is taught all over America and all over the world that you don't have to know Revelation, that you're not going to be here when the Antichrist comes. Yes, you are. Ezekiel chapter 13, King James Bible, God says, I'm against them who hunt the souls and teach them to fly to save your soul. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter, chapter 4, verse 13 there, caught up in the air, it doesn't mean to fly into the sky. Air means to change into the spiritual body when the real Jesus comes after the Antichrist comes. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. When Jesus comes, we're going to step out of our flesh bodies into our spiritual bodies. Caught up in the air does not mean to fly in the sky. It means to change into the air body, the breath of the spirit body. And in Zechariah chapter 5, it says a prophecy, anybody who's deceived and half the body of Christ will be, you try to get in that Airbus to fly away, you're not going up, you're not going down. You have worshiped the devil. Wow, whoa. This sign is upon us because the teaching is here.
Amen.
You know, Jesus is coming back here, and every eye shall see him. It's not a sneech catching away there. And you know it says one is taken and one is left. When you get taken, you've been had.
Amen. Yep. And because iniquity shall abound.
Iniquity means breaking the law, lawlessness. Oh boy, this sign is upon us. Last summer we watched in horror as riding the streets with nobody arresting them, these people burned down houses and business and even the beautiful church in front of the White House. Lawlessness. We're all watching in horror as Joe Biden, Pamela Harris, and Barack Hussein Obama, who's behind it all, allows drug traffickers to come in with all of their drugs, and who knows but the Taliban's coming in. As they drop off little children to be sold for pedophiles, we watch all of that. We watch as evil people, illegal immigrants who are murderers, are released from prison while good people are locked up because of January 6th. The sign is upon us. The end is very near.
Amen. The love of many shall wax cold.
Now this is talking about Christians. Christians who love the Lord, who used to go to church, will stop going to church because they've got to work. I understand. I started school with $45, but I never put my work before God, and I'm still here free of debt and giving money to others and paying my tithes. Yeah. So you see, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It is a command to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You need to come because the end is near. Those of you who just come on Sundays, you're missing your blessing on Wednesday. You need that refreshing. Those of you who just come on Wednesday, you're missing your blessing. You need to come on Sunday. In every order, you need to come to church. You need to come to church. You need to come to church. You need to come to church and worship God, to feel the Spirit of God. Yes. And besides, when we're off the air, I pray for you, for heaven's sakes. Amen. But many don't do it. You love your money, don't you? That sign's upon us, sadly. I'm sorry to say that. I've heard pastors say that the church attendance is really down because people are so busy trying to make that money.
13, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved.
While everybody in the world, Revelation 13, is going to worship the Antichrist, half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, will worship him. The only 7,000 elect will not. So we just endure to the end. Remember, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. After the Antichrist comes, and we're going to find out his time shortened, then comes Jesus. Wait for the true Christ, and you'll be saved. You see, even when Christians go and worship the devil, you've worshiped the devil, you lose your salvation.
Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Now this is that third group of people who are delivered up to the devil. This is talking about God's elect. Now you want to go home and read Luke 21 thoroughly there. God's got his very elect alive right now who are not going to worship the devil. When the church folks deceived are going to turn us in, it's a high and holy calling. Don't be afraid. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed. In Revelation 9, God's already told the devil, don't you touch anyone who's got the word of God sealed in their forehead. The purpose of this is that the Holy Spirit is going to speak through the elect, just like Pentecost, in a language before the whole world. Everybody in the world, in their own language, will hear the Holy Spirit speak through the elect, even to your dialect. See, we've got the technology to do this. And the gospel shall be preached, and then Jesus will come.
Amen.
Okay, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Caution here. If you're an elect and delivered up, Luke 21 says, if an elect does not let the Holy Spirit speak through you, you have committed the unpardonable sin. It'll never be forgiven. Only an elect can commit that. I pray that you won't do that. You need to practice now. Stop letting your mind pray, say, sing, live through you. Yield to the Holy Spirit. I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you, teach through you, sing through you. Learn now to let him speak through you, the language of the Spirit. See, you need to practice. Perfect practice makes perfect.
Amen.
Verse 15, when ye therefore see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet.
Daniel chapter 9:27, the desolator is the devil, the antichrist. Daniel says he comes before the Savior, the Messiah. Now, in Daniel's time, his math was different from our math. A week with Daniel is 7 years. So he says in the last week, 7 years, he said the antichrist will come. Now, it was in Daniel's time, originally 7 years, but it was divided in half. And he said in the middle of the week, in the middle of the 7 years, then comes the actual antichrist. The political system of the antichrist comes before that. In Revelation chapter 13, that first beast is the first half of Daniel's weeks. Now we're going to find it's been short for the next sake, thank goodness. And the second beast is the last week of Daniel. Okay.
Stand in the holy place.
Standing where he ought not, as Paul says in Thessalonians, in Jerusalem. In other words, the Antichrist is going to set his feet in Jerusalem and he's called himself Messiah. He's going to call himself Christ, two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. He's a devil with his Jesus costume on. When you see that,
whosoever readeth, let him understand.
Well, I just taught you. I hope you understand.
Verse 16. When let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains.
Don't go to Jerusalem to see Jesus, because it's not Jesus. Run away from him.
Verse 17. Let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house.
Okay, on the housetop, a watchman is on the housetop. We're supposed to watch his house. Now, God's house is Beth-El, house of God, house of the Word. When the devil comes, he's going to call himself Messiah. There's going to be the greatest revival you've ever heard in the whole wide world. Don't you hear people talking about that? All right. But it's the wrong revival, because they're worshiping the devil thinking he's Jesus. His house is Beth-Aven, empty house. So he says, watch out for that. Don't go that. Keep on going to Beth-El, the house of the Word.
Verse 18. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes.
Matthew told us early, Jesus told us early in Matthew that the field is the world. Okay. If you're saved, when the Lord saved you, he put on you an invisible robe of righteousness. If you go to the devil thinking he's Jesus, your robe's going to get dirty and you're going to have on filthy garments, and that won't be suitable for the wedding supper of the Lamb.
Verse 19. But woe unto them who are with child and give suck in those days.
Now, this does not mean there's any problem about being pregnant. God loves pregnant women. He loves babies. What this means is it's a spiritual impregnation. See, Jesus is coming back for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when you get married, you go to bed. And then when you go to bed, you have babies. So it's talking about to be spiritually impregnated by having married the wrong bridegroom. Okay, now what about giving suck them? Luke chapter 23, verse 29 says, blessed are those who are barren, the womb is barren, the paps who do not give suck. Giving suck there means that the deceived ones will be nurturing the word of long, sucking in the lies, nurturing the work of Antichrist. Okay, do you understand? Spiritual impregnation, spiritually nurturing the work of the Antichrist. Okay, don't do that.
Verse 20. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter.
Why? Because Jesus is coming back for harvest. He's going to separate the wheat from the goats. All right? The wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats. Harvest is not in winter, it's in summer. If you go to the first one, you've been harvested out of season, and woe to you, you've married the Antichrist.
Neither on the Sabbath day.
In the Bible times, you're not allowed to travel on the Sabbath, so see, you wouldn't be able to get away from the Antichrist. Don't go to him, run from him.
Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such was not from the beginning of the world to this time, nor that ever shall be.
This sign is upon us. We hear newscasters say, and we're all sitting stunned. We've said we've never seen anything like what has happened to America. The tribulation is the hour of temptation, not a literal hour. And it is the time the Antichrist will be here. But you see, we're not tempted by him. Oh, he's beautiful. As Dennis says on Shepherd's Chapel, pretty boy Floyd. He looks like Jesus, acts like him, talks like him. He's beautiful. But you see, I'm not tempted by beauty or handsomeness. I don't care how pretty you are or how handsome you are. You know what I look? I am blind physically, but I am not blind spiritually. Yeah. Even when I had 20/20 vision, I could still look at your heart. Yeah. I'm only interested if your heart is beautiful. Yeah. So you see, we don't find him tempting. We find him ugly. Yeah. We don't go there.
Amen. Amen.
Remember, not one hair of your head shall be harmed if you're an elect.
Verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Hallelujah. Amen. It was 7 years divided into half. 3.5 years, the political system of the Antichrist, the first piece of Revelation 13. The last 3.5 years, the actual Antichrist himself. Now, Jesus said in Mark 13, I'm shortening that time for the elect's sake, lest no flesh should be saved. The book of Daniel says here at the end, the devil will try to wear out the saints. Don't you feel a little bit worn out? Mm-hmm. The flesh can only stand so much. Now, to what has he shortened it? Revelation 9, the king of the bottomless pit is the Antichrist. The locust army is a symbol of the devil's political system and some more coming fallen angels, and some of them are on the scene right now. Now, it says 5 months, two times there. And look in the natural. In the natural, the time of the locust is from May to September. We look what we've been going through from May. And now September's upon us, 5 months. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it'll be May or September, but it's 5 months. And five is the number of grace.
Amen.
The end is very near. The signs are upon us. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
I pray
Amen.
You are blessed.
Hallelujah.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Sun Tree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What an awesome, awesome word today.
Awesome Amen. Word. Right from Amen. God's heart to my heart to your heart.
Amen.
Well, David left his stuff in the bag, cart. Zeke put his stuff in the bag. I got my tag and toggle. And what is Scott's stuff?
For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak, and it shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Habakkuk 2:3.
I love that. At the end it shall not tarry. The end is upon us.
Amen.
Great,
Amen.
Scott. We did not believe. That was Holy Spirit. Thank you, Scott.
Amen.
Thank you.
Awesome.
In a moment I'm going to pray for the sick. Now, if you're not saved, you better get saved. The time is upon us. If you will pray this prayer with me and mean it with all your heart, God will save you right now. Here we go. Father God, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father God, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask Jesus' blood will wash away my sins.
I ask that Jesus' blood will wash away my sins.
I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit.
I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth
that Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now the Bible says confession is made to salvation. Jesus says if you confess him before men, he will confess you before his Father which is in heaven. Tell someone. You may tell me. In a little while, my announcer, Scott Mercer, will give you my telephone number. Feel free to call and leave that message on my voicemail. Say your name clearly. Don't do cell phone mumble. And then I will pray for you. Now let me pray for the sick. Today I feel led to pray for those who've been attacked by COVID. All right, in Jesus' mighty name. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you said in Malachi chapter 4, to those who fear your name shall the Son of Righteous arise with healing in your wings. The Son of Righteous is the Lord Jesus, the wings are laser beams. So, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask the Lord Jesus Christ will do your laser beam surgery. COVID be gone in Jesus' name. Virus be gone. Every strand of COVID be gone from this body in Jesus' name. Go to the abyss. Fever be gone in Jesus' name. Nausea be gone in Jesus' name. Coughing be gone in Jesus' name. Sickness be gone in Jesus' name. Fatigue be gone in Jesus' name. Left lung, breathe. Right lung, breathe. Esophagus, breathe. Vocal cords, breathe. Throat, breathe. Pick up your bed and walk. He sent his word and healed you. You shall not die, but live and declare the works of God. You go from strength to strength. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Hallelujah. He sent his word and healed you. Praise the Lord. We all say, I agree in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Nothing is given you to keep, so go and tell. The end is very near. Tell of the signs. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend. Your best friend is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
I'm not afraid to Long can be the night of our struggle. Deep can be the wounds of this life. But hope lives on in spite of our trials. And these soon shall pass. Yes, these soon shall pass. You take the world off my shoulders, the weight of it all off my shoulders. You breathe your hope, you watch over, and you take the world, all the weight of this world. There are times of tears and of trouble. We wander through the darkness of night, but hope will shine inside of this battle. And this too shall pass. Yes, this too shall pass. But until it does, you take the world off my shoulders, the weight of it all off my shoulders. You breathe your hope, you watch over, and you take the world, all the weight of this world. You take the weight, and your love, it keeps on lifting me, and your hope is marching on, and your mercy surely carries me, and your hope is marching on. Oh, I know, I know. And your love, it keeps on lifting me. Oh, and your hope is marching on. And your mercy surely carries me. And your hope is marching on. Shoulders, oh, the weight of it all off my shoulders. Jesus, you breathe your hope, you watch over, oh, and you take the world, all the weight of this world, all the weight of this world.
Oh, it's time for me to leave here. All that I've hoped for. Could you take me where I need to go? I am waiting for your love. I am reaching for your touch. Lost without you, got me down. I need you now. I need you now. Oh, 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 oh.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
From the dawn of creation, world has been crying out for hope, for a hero to save us. We long for the supernatural.
But there is only one God who can save the day. So clear the stage, prepare the way, 'cause heaven and earth are singing. Glory, hallelujah, let the whole world see. Save the day. So clear the stage, prepare the way, 'cause heaven and earth are singing. Glory, hallelujah, let the whole world see.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
A lot of us haven't seen God move yet because God hadn't seen us move yet.
Dr. Tony Evans says if we're not ready to take the risk of faith, what we have isn't really faith.
God says, as for me, I got my part down. I'm just waiting for you to stop whining and crying and do what I told you to do.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Making choices isn't so bad when you have all the information needed to weigh your options, but when you're pinning your future to nothing more than blind trust, it's another story. The Bible calls that faith, and Dr. Evans tells us why it's a gamble that always pays off. Let's join him for today's lesson.
We're going through Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. Today I want to talk about the risk of faith. For faith is risky business. Because you're having to make choices over things you do not see. That's why people shy away from it. Faith is risky business. But without it, it's impossible to please God. We've seen that. And so what God will do in order to nudge you or drive you to faith is box you in where that's your only option. Because he wants to teach you and me and us to live by faith. God told the children of Israel that he was going to smite, verse 23 of Exodus 12, the firstborn in Israel, but if they would put the blood of a lamb on the doorpost of their home, when the death angel came, he would pass over them. Verse 23, he would not allow the destroyer to come into your homes to smite you. This was an unprecedented instruction. They had never heard this kind of advice before. It had never been done before. So you could argue, they could say, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't know what blood on the door has got to do with delivering me from Egypt. I'm not going to do that. That would have been a bad decision, as the Egyptians found out. Just because it had never been done before, just because you hadn't heard it that way before, just because you've never seen it like this before, once God confirms it, it's in your best interest to take the risk that the most ridiculous strategy possible coming from the living God is one you ought to pay attention to. The instruction was to paint on the door the blood of the Lamb. And when they saw the blood, when the angel saw the blood, he says, your home would be safe. If you were a Jewish firstborn, that might have been a nervous night for you. Dad, according to God, the firstborn in every house is going to die. Number one, did you put the blood on the door? Because this is my life. I don't care how afraid the firstborn in that house was, the issue would not be his emotions. The issue is there blood on the door? The issue is not his feelings, his frustrations, his insecurity. All that is real, but it would have nothing to do with the result. The result would be tied to the action of putting blood on the door. For faith is based on what you do, not on how you feel. When the angel came passing over, he wasn't peeking in the house seeing who's nervous. He was looking at the door and who believed the message about the blood. It would be the blood that would deliver.